Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it's about that time. It is 1 p.m. on this Tuesday, September 10th, 2019. Happy Tuesday to you all. It's a bit cloudy, a bit rainy here in mid-Michigan. It's going to be hot and humid today in the 80s. So I guess that helps. You know, it's not going to be cold outside, but a bit rainy. So I hope you guys are having a great Tuesday so far, and thank you so much for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. I can't lie. I'm running off steam right now, folks. I've been helping out, as all of our WKAR news team has been doing, helping out with our pledge campaign that is going all the way up until Friday morning. I was on the air this morning with our pledge campaign manager, the great Shadonna Crosby, as well as the host of Morning Edition, the fantastic and talented Mary Ellen Pitney. And we were on the air from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. And I was joking with Mary, like, you know, she does that shift every single day. You know, as a sports guy, sports happen at night. Most sports guys are night owls because of that. So, you know, I feel like a zombie right now. I'm like, Mary, how do you do this every morning? You're on the air from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. and you have to get here a couple hours early to prep the show. I don't know how she does it. I have no idea. So I'm feeling zombie-like. And in preparation for that shift, you know, I tried to go to sleep last night around about like 9 or 10 p.m. My body said, no, Al, this is not what we do. And I just laid in the bed staring at the wall for an hour. All right. And even when I did fall asleep, it wasn't great sleep because my body's still like, no, you should be up. So I'm feeling like a zombie right now, you know, running off of about, I'm on my sixth cup of coffee. That's why I usually have it during the show, but I'm taking a break from it right now because I may start like twitching a bit. So, but a happy Tuesday to you guys. And again, please, if you enjoy what we do here at WKAR, if you enjoy Current Sports, if you enjoy All Things Considered hosted by Karell Vega, if you enjoy Morning Edition hosted by Mary Ellen Pitney, if you enjoy our classical music hosted by Jody Knoll and Jamie Paisley, contribute. All right, again, we've got this campaign rolling all the way up until Friday morning, and it may end early. If we reach our goal, it may end early so you can get back to your regularly scheduled programming. All right, but please contribute right now and call 517-353-5000. Again, 517-353-5000. You can also give now at WKAR.org. And we've got, this is the last day that we're running this special. It's a 2-for-1 special. If you contribute just $8 a month, you will receive 2 WKAR mugs. One is a really cool mug that has the WKAR classical logo on it. Awesome stuff. And the other mug is actually an NPR mug that says Stand with the Facts, which is pretty awesome as well. So, again, your gift counts. Again, you can receive those 2 mugs if you just contribute $8 a month. All right. So we're running this campaign all the way up until Friday morning. I'll be on the air with Karell Vega for All Things Considered on Thursday afternoon as well. So Yeah, that morning edition shift. Wow. Props to Mary Ellen Pitney. I don't know how she does that. All right.
When it comes to sports talk, on today's show, we will roll in the Mark D'Antonio press conference
from Spartan Stadium today. As Mark D'Antonio, he puts a lid on what occurred on Saturday against Western Michigan. That was a Saturday night win for the Michigan State football team, putting up 50-plus points. Pretty amazing stuff, because all of you were worried about this Michigan State offense and whether or not it can put up big points, and, you know, at least for one game so far, you know, they've showed that they've got some power on that offense. And there's some hope for you Spartan fans out there. And, of course, he will preview the upcoming matchup against Arizona State this Saturday afternoon. That kickoff time will be around 4 o'clock. So you'll get a chance to hear what Coach D had to say. Also, as promised, we will talk about the Detroit Lions and what happened on Sunday afternoon with them out in AZ, because the Lions looked like they were going to coast to a win. Then the fourth quarter hit. The Lions gave up a 24-6 lead. The thing goes to overtime, and it ends in a tie, which feels like a loss for many Lions fans out there, because, again, you had this game in the bag. So you'll get my takeaways when it comes to that game in just a moment. And then, you know, to close out the hour, you know, I got some news yesterday that really shook me to my core. You know, I'm just getting off work. As soon as I come into my apartment, I received a text from my dear friend here in the area, local fight promoter. You guys know his face. You know his voice very, very well. He has been here on Current Sports many, many times. And he is a staple in our local community, the great Ron DeLeon. He shot me a text saying, "Al, call me when you can." And that was followed up with a very troubling screenshot of his Facebook profile, in which he posted a new status concerning another one of my favorite guests that I've ever had here on the show. He's been a friend of the show, and you talk about a guy who was just so inspirational, so motivating, so in tune with his spiritual side, and just a great human being. His name was Ronald Mann. Sadly, Ronald Mann, former UFC fighter, who lost his leg in a really tragic accident, you know, years ago. Again, just an inspirational guy. He sadly passed away. Again, my longtime listeners out there, my longtime viewers, because I even had him on Current Sports TV when I used to host that TV show back in the day. Ronald Mann was one of my very first guests, and he was talking about, you know, how he trains as a one-legged UFC fighter. That's just amazing in itself, right? Such an inspirational dude. But he sadly passed away, victim of a car accident in Ohio over the weekend. So I'm going to pay tribute to Ronald Mann because he deserves it. And you just never know, folks. You just never know. Tomorrow is never promised. Every single day you wake up with breath in your lungs, appreciate that, man. Appreciate that. All right. You know how we start this show, though. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start here, folks. Michigan State football will open Big Ten play with its first early kickoff of the season, as your Michigan State football team will take on Northwestern on the road. Number 18, Michigan State, 2-0, taking on Northwestern on the road. Northwestern sitting at 0-1 on the young season. That game will take place on September 21st. The start time set for noon. All right, that will be a noon kickoff, which is 11 a.m. local time out in Illinois, but noon here in Michigan. The game will be televised on ABC. Michigan State has begun the season with back-to-back night games in wins against Tulsa and Western Michigan this past Saturday night here in East Lansing. So the Spartans will next, though, host Arizona State, also sitting at 2-0 on the young year, this Saturday, 4 p.m. on Fox to close out non-conference play. And more news when it comes to Michigan State football, as MSU football is up one spot in this week's Associated Press college football poll, moving from number 19 back to number 18. So the shift comes one week after MSU moved down one spot from their initial ranking after that win over Tulsa. It was an underwhelming performance against Tulsa. Michigan State began the season ranked number 18 and now back at that spot. Michigan slid from number 7 to number 10 in this week's AP poll after that, talk about underwhelming, after that underwhelming performance against Army on Saturday afternoon at the Big House. All right, and Jim Harbaugh, you know, he hinted at it last week. Yesterday, Josh Gattis confirmed it. Michigan quarterback Shea Patterson played, quote, banged up during the first two games, having suffered an oblique injury in the 10th-ranked Wolverine season opener against Middle Tennessee State. So that news was first reported last week, with Jim Harbaugh telling reporters after the overtime win over Army that Shea Patterson was better. Quote, it was something he struggled with early since the first play of Middle Tennessee, said Gattis, who is Michigan's first-year offensive coordinator. That's what he told reporters yesterday. So I don't know if that extends any sympathy on my part to Shea Patterson's poor play in these first two games of the season. I'm not letting him off the hook at all. It's football, man. You got to find a way. At the end of the day, a lot of Shea Patterson's inconsistent play throughout these first two games has been decision-making on my end. So there you have that, though. He is not 100%. All right, Matt Patricia, who is the head coach of your Detroit Football Lions, he said that he has 1,000% trust in Matthew Stafford a day after the Lions quarterback had a heat-of-the-moment outburst on the sideline. Stafford was caught on camera. I didn't see this, but apparently he was caught on camera yelling, quote, trust me, twice after Matt Patricia ordered a timeout with the play clock running down on a key 3rd-and-5 play late in Sunday's 27-27 tie against the Arizona Cardinals. This is what Patricia said yesterday when asked about his trust level in Matthew Stafford. Quote,
do me a favor, just kind of sit up.
Good drop there from current sports engineer on this Tuesday, Jack Kerwin. This is what Matt Patricia had to say. Quote, I don't think any of that's really an issue. We have a great trust relationship, so I don't think that's kind of a story. I think it's a raw emotion of probably the situation. I think all of us obviously understand what the play is, and we can dive into that play as much as we want to, but the fact is we called the timeout because the clock was running down. And the mechanics of how that works with the officials, end quote. You know, Jack, I don't think this is really a big deal. I believe there are heated exchanges that happen on the regular, Sunday to Sunday, or Monday to Monday, or Thursday to Thursday in the National Football League. And when it is caught on camera, though, again, we aren't used to seeing that as fans viewing the game on television, but I think this may be a normal thing that some people may blow out of proportion here. But and again, we're going to talk more Lions in just a moment here, but I don't think this is a big deal at all.
You're probably right about it. It's just, you know, such a coaching gaffe by Patricia right there and the magnitude of the play calling the timeout.
Yeah.
You know, where the Lions honestly had a good look there. Stafford liked what he saw at the line of scrimmage, obviously, and if that play happens, it ends the game. So I don't know if they have any type of, you know, trust issue to your point, and it probably isn't a big deal. It's just, you know, a bad season for Matt Patricia last year and right out of the gate a really bad look for him in week one.
Definitely. Totally with you, man. So... there you have that story. Again, more on the Lions in a matter of minutes, so stay tuned for that. How about this, though? New England Patriots, the New England Patriots, did not need Antonio Brown against his old team on Sunday night against the Pittsburgh Steelers, but that does not mean his new quarterback is any less excited about adding the star receiver. In fact, Tom Brady, the GOAT, could be sharing more than the football field with Brown out in Foxborough. Because according to NBC's Al Michaels, Brady told Brown's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, that Brown is welcome to live at his house as he gets acclimated to the area. Isn't that sweet? Antonio Brown and Tom Brady could be roommates here. Oh, the drama that is Antonio Brown. I'll get to that later on. Monday Night Football, I'm a bit salty because I missed the second game. But, you know, I didn't miss much, I guess. You know, I saw what was arguably the most entertaining game of the NFL season so far after week one. How about the New Orleans Saints and the Houston Texans last night? That was such an entertaining game. I mean, Deshaun Watson, you know, putting the ball on the string multiple times. Drew Brees coming right back at him. I mean, it was back and forth and back and forth. And DeAndre Hopkins makes a big catch. And then Alvin Kamara comes right back at you. Kenny Steele seems to put the lid on his former team. And then all of a sudden, Drew Brees, on the final drive of the game, gets his team in field goal range. And they end up winning the game in the last seconds. Unbelievable stuff. A 30-28 win in favor of the New Orleans Saints. And then in the second game of Monday Night Football, I really like how they do this opening Monday Night Football. They give you two games on Monday Night Football. In the second game, it was the Antonio Brownless Oakland Raiders getting a win over the Denver Broncos 24-16. Who says they need Antonio Brown, right? And just want to note this, the Detroit Tigers, if you care, they take on the New York Yankees at Comerica Park starting at 6:40 p.m. All right, that does it for your quick hit headliners. If you would like to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. You can watch the live stream there, and you can comment below that video if you would like to weigh in that way. And you can tweet us. You can tweet us directly. Well, tweet the show, I should say, at WKAR News. And you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, it is September 10th, 2019. And before I push forward here and talk about the Detroit Lions, I do want to let you guys know that this is some pretty big news that came across the sports news wire earlier today. As the California State Assembly on Monday passed a bill that would allow college athletes to sign endorsement deals. This is groundbreaking, folks. SB 206, the Fair Pay to Play Act, cleared the assembly by a vote, a unanimous vote of 72-0. 72-0. A version of the bill passed the Senate by a similarly decisive vote back in May. Now, the bill, if it becomes law, will go into effect January 1st of 2023. So some time, we still got some time until that. Though none of the bill's provisions involve schools paying athletes directly, it would prohibit schools in California from revoking scholarships or scholarship eligibility from athletes who profit off of their own name, image, and likeness. So the bill's high-profile backers include athletes like LeBron James and how about Bernie Sanders weighing in on this? Yeah, high-profile multi-sport athlete Bernie Sanders. No, joking. Bernie tweeted back on September 6th when it comes to this story, college athletes are workers. Pay them. I don't have a Bernie Sanders impression, so I was thinking about doing it in his voice, but my Bernie Sanders is bad. LeBron James tweeted out on September 5th, everyone is California. Call your politicians and tell them to support SB 206. This law is a game changer. College athletes can responsibly get paid for what they do and the billions they create. And I agree 1,000%. But 72-0. So again, this does not involve colleges paying athletes directly. But hey, you know, let's just say you're Cassius Winston, right? You know, one of the most popular names in Michigan State athletics right now. And you say, let me do a local car dealership commercial and, you know, see if I can get some cheese that way. Or, you know what, maybe let me hold an event where, you know, hey, fans can come out and, you know, I'll sign autographs for them. You know, maybe I can get some moolah off that. You know, you can do that. You will be able to do that if this thing was, you know, passed in Michigan. That'd be awesome, right? But, you know, this is what this bill is allowing athletes to do, to profit off of their image and likeness. All right, so I think this is absolutely awesome. And 72-0. I mean, talk about an overwhelming majority. All right, the Detroit Lions. Yep, I just want to touch on them. I don't want to spend a lot of time with this. I'm pretty sure you guys have been talking at your respective water cooler at work with your coworkers about what happened on Sunday, and you're just sitting there still thinking about it. I'm pretty sure you maybe had a nightmare on Sunday night or even last night, recalling how in the world the Detroit Lions ended up tying that game with the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday out in AZ, because it seemed like it was in the bag. You know, after that Matthew Stafford to TJ Hockenson touchdown, and by the way, yo, props to TJ Hockenson, man. You know, everybody that criticized that draft pick and said, what are the Lions doing? Another tight end? Who is this brother? Jack, I think they're a bit silent right now. Everybody's kind of like, okay, maybe we were wrong about Mr. Hockenson, because Mr. Hockenson played his tail off. He had record numbers on Sunday, Jack. So were you one of the ones that criticized that move, right?
Well, absolutely. But yeah, for me with Hockenson, it was never about him as a player at all. Like, I'm not surprised at all that TJ Hockenson had a good game. And when they drafted him, I thought to myself, he's a much better football player than Eric Ebron was or Brandon Pettigrew was. Mm-hmm. The issue for me was the Detroit Lions were drafting eighth overall and they took a tight end. That's a luxury position. And I mean, I still feel that way, but it had nothing to do with Hockenson as a player at all.
Right. And that's the thing, you know, the fact that they drafted another tight end, that's what just kept replaying in the minds of Detroit Lions fans out there. Another tight end? Didn't we just see this happen with Eric Ebron and look how well that worked out. And, you know, even though Ebron has had, you know, pretty good numbers, you know, with the Colts, right? With Indy, right?
He is with Indy, and he had great numbers on Sunday. I believe it was one catch for 8 yards.
So he's not off to a sizzling start, but he played really well last season for them.
He did, but he also just lost his quarterback this year. We'll see what happens.
Right. That's a different circumstance out there for the Colts right now. So, but, you know, a few takeaways when it comes to this. I thought that, you know, the offense under new coordinator Darrell Bevell, you know, had more options than what we saw in his predecessors. You know, I like the 12-yard naked run around in by Stafford. That was a clever play. And Stafford ran the offense like he was really born into it. You know, we had all these questions about, oh, Matthew Stafford, he's not getting a lot of reps in the preseason. And I said, look, when it comes to this whole backup quarterback situation, you don't need him playing a lot of minutes in a meaningless preseason game. Protect that brother at all costs, because he is your franchise quarterback who has been banged up and played last year with a broken back. So people were saying, well, you know, this is a new system. You know, you got to get him live game reps. Matthew Stafford looked incredibly comfortable on Sunday when it comes to this new offense. So and how about the addition of Danny Amendola? You know, that's a pretty good addition for this team at wide receiver. You know, I think that he can be a productive piece if they continue to use him the way that they used him on Sunday. And again, you know, Hockenson, you know, he looked great. Again, rookie debut, validating any questions that might have been asked about the Lions drafting him. He had 6 catches for 131 yards and a touchdown. So, you know, and I think that he sustained a block on a pass rusher long enough for Matthew Stafford to get an extra half second or so. If you remember that play, that pass to Danny Amendola that went for 47 yards to the house in the second quarter. If you look at the film, you know, I noted, man, T.J. Hockenson got in there and you know, had a nice little block on that play. So, and not every rookie would make that block because, well, they're rookies, all right? And sometimes rookies in that first game, there's a lot going through their minds. So, props to T.J. Hockenson. Now, the Lions defense. Now, I don't know. You know, I can't. There's plenty. I'll just say this, Jack. There is plenty of blame to go around when it comes to the defensive collapse that occurred in that fourth quarter that allowed rookie quarterback Kyler Murray to go off and spearhead that comeback that eventually led to the tie when the dust settled. Plenty of blame to go around. I mean, we're talking in that fourth quarter, what, 12 first downs allowed, 193 yards. They had no sacks. And, you know, you gave up such a huge lead. A lot of this falls on Patricia, right? I mean, Matt Patricia, you know, I think he basically went into, like, I don't know what kind of defense that was. It wasn't like prevent, you know, it wasn't like that. But it was a defense that allowed, you know, there was not a lot of DBs up on the line putting pressure on the receivers. And Kyler Murray hit a receiver or two in stride, and I think his confidence got up. There were no adjustments made, and that defense got carved the heck up. And next thing you know, the Cardinals are on their way to, you know, scoring a touchdown and then another. And then you're looking at the score and it's like, whoa, what in the world is going on here? And, you know, it's, thank goodness that defensive player, I don't even know who it was now. I forget his name, but thank goodness he dropped that interception because, you know, that Matthew Stafford went on that final drive. And I'm sitting there watching the game and I just said to myself, I'm like, watch the Lions find a way to lose this thing. There's either going to be a fumble or Matthew Stafford. I just have a feeling because we're talking about the Detroit Lions, or Matthew Stafford somehow, some way is going to throw a pick. And it almost happened. But the defensive player dropped it, had butterfingers. But if he would have intercepted that football and just went out of bounds, you bring out, you know, the field goal unit, then bang, game over. That's it. They are very fortunate. The Lions are very fortunate that they are walking away from that game with a tie and not a loss. But it should have been a win. It should have been a win, and that is what is so, so frustrating. You know, on a more positive note, I thought that linebacker Devon Kennard, he had three sacks. He was a shining light there. Through three quarters, the defense was pretty solid. You know, the run defense I thought could have been better. You know, the Cardinals had 23 carries for 112 yards. But it's like that fourth quarter. I think when it comes to that defense, it was more so on the coaching staff and how they called that game, because they did not make adjustments when they saw that Kyler Murray was finding receivers on little slant routes and then down the field for big gains, big chunks. And it's like, what are you guys doing, man? What in the heck is going on here? And when it comes to Kyler Murray, you know, Kyler Murray, I'm curious to see how the rest of the season plays out for him, because that was an ugly first three quarters for him. And his size, he's only 5'10". And I think that will be an issue until he really learns how to navigate throwing lanes, and that only comes through what? Experience. Right? And he had three balls batted down. That's what's gonna happen when you're only 5'10" and you're a rookie quarterback trying to figure out the speed of the NFL. And sometimes those result in INTs. He's very fortunate that a few of them didn't. But when he got into a groove in that fourth quarter, he was good. 15 of 19 passes, 154 yards, and both of his TDs coming in that fourth quarter. But the rest of the game, those first three quarters, he looked a bit overmatched. So I'm curious to see if he continues the momentum that, you know, he was able to build in that fourth quarter, if he can continue that throughout the rest of the season playing for AZ. But you got to be disappointed if you are a Lions fan, because, again, you had the game. It was yours. It was yours for the taking, and you said, nope. We don't want it. And it's like, it's not like, you know, when you look at the Lions schedule from here on out, you know, it's not like the Lions schedule gets easier from here. You know, it's a tough first stretch of games here. I mean, you know, they take on the San Diego Chargers this weekend in the home opener. Also the you know, they take on the Philadelphia Eagles, then you play the Kansas City Chiefs, then you play Aaron and the Green Bay Packers, and then you play the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, that is a tough stretch of football coming up for the Detroit Lions, which is why in a game that they were favored in this game against Arizona, you're sitting there thinking to yourself, all right, get this win, because who knows when your next win is going to come. Nothing is really guaranteed for the next 4 to 5 weeks here. Handle business in Arizona, and we'll see what happens after that. And you couldn't do that. It's disappointing. It's disappointing if you are a Lions fan, all right? Which I am not. All right, behind the glass, Jack Kerwin, your thoughts on the Detroit Lions, and what do you think led to the Lions' demise in that fourth quarter and in overtime?
Well, a myriad of things, but mainly it goes back to Patricia, and then it's hard to ignore that timeout taken by Bevel and ultimately Patricia at the end of the fourth quarter as well.
Definitely. You know, let's go to our phone lines right now. You can hear them ringing behind the glass. Do we have Kirk right now on line one? Let's go to Kirk from Grand Ledge on line one, who wants to talk some Lions football. Kirk, get it off your chest, brother. What are your thoughts on the Lions tie against Arizona?
Well, Al, I've had, you know, over 24 hours to think about this. Mm-hmm. And being a rational, logical man and a Lions football fan, I think you're looking at it all wrong. I think you need to look at it as it was a Lions victory, because the Lions have wet the bed so many times once they cross the Mississippi River that they actually, you know, I was in the same mindset as you. I figured they were going to find a way to lose it. Mm-hmm. I think I get to say I told you so a little bit, because they did make Kyler Murray look like an all-star in the fourth quarter, but not the whole game. So I only get a little bit of I told you so on that.
You did. But, right.
But, you know, you got to change your whole mindset when you're a Lions fan that, you know, this is a victory. They went out west and they didn't get a loss. No, actually, it was putrid, Al. You know what my attitude is about this thing. It was just, it was just so, and the thing you're overlooking during all this discussion, and this is what cracks me up about the Lions, because you have so many stones you can throw, you know, the way the defense played in the fourth quarter, the coaches making a timeout, Matt Stafford on the sideline screaming, trust me, mm-hmm. You know, all that stuff. But the other thing is, you know, on a different team, the special teams coach would have been fired yesterday.
Yeah.
You have a muffed punt that leads to points for them. You have a blocked punt that leads to points for them. If you just take care of business on special teams and ball security, you win that game. You know,
exactly.
I mean,
yep.
So there are so many areas you could pinpoint with the Lions leading to this tie in a game they should have won. But that's the Lions. If you've been a Lions fan for as long as I have, you've grown up accustomed to this kind of thing.
SOL, right? Same old Lions, man.
Yeah. Same old Lions.
We hear it just about every Sunday. And, yeah, that's a great point that you bring up, Kirk, about special teams, because you had Jamal Agnew fumbling away a punt return that led to the Cardinals' first field goal and a blocked punt in the fourth quarter that set up the game-tying touchdown. And that's not counting the you know, the blocked punt. Four of Sam Barton's punts were inside the 20, but my goodness, you got to handle business when it comes to special teams. I'm totally with you on that, Kirk. Thank you for bringing that up.
The Lions.
All right, line two, we've got Mike from Saginaw that wants to talk about the Detroit Lions. Mike, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, man? Before I talk about the Lions, did you see what Odell Beckham was wearing?
Yeah, he wore over $300,000 watch while playing against the Tennessee Titans. How crazy is that?
Was that a watch?
No,
Shinola?
It was not a Shinola. It's some fancy, because I looked it up when I saw it on his Instagram. I looked it up, and it's some, like, some other company. I don't know what kind of, but it's a really, really nice watch. It better be for over $300,000, right? To my knowledge, Mike, they have not fined Odell Beckham Jr., but they did, the NFL did contact the Cleveland Browns and say that's a no-no. You can't wear, like, a hard object while playing football. So I don't think they fined him, though, but, you know, that's Odell Beckham Jr., one of the many prima donna wide receivers in the NFL that has to say, hey, look at me. So there you have that.
Here's one more thing before we talk about the Lions. What do you think about, I know Derrick Henry was wearing some jewelry, too, for the Tennessee Titans. What do you think about players wearing gold ropes, man?
The
guy from Miami.
If it's tucked in, like jewelry while playing, you're not talking about like a turnover chain, but yeah, you're talking about like jewelry while, like if it's tucked in and it's not, you know, going to hurt anybody.
Yeah, it's tucked in the shoulder pads, thank goodness. You know, they can't wear it outside of them.
Yeah, exactly. If it's not going to hurt anybody, I'm cool with it, man. Hey, if that's your style, that's how you roll. A lot of people forget, man, I always bring this up, and this is what when I started like wearing a gold chain, when I used to wear a gold chain like when I played basketball back in the day. Not for like, you know, high school ball, but in elementary, they actually let you kind of wear it. If the chain wasn't hanging, they let us wear it, which is crazy. But I saw Michael Jordan back in the 80s. You know, Michael Jordan used to wear a gold choker chain. And I'm like, you know, I wanted to be like Mike. And I used to like, Mom, can you give me a gold chain? And she got me a chain. And I used to rock that thing all the time. It was a little small choker chain. But yeah, if it's not hurting, if there's no injury potential there, I mean, hey, I'm cool with it, I guess. Whatever floats your boat, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, man. Whatever. I'm just laughing about the watch, man. You got to help me, man. I'm just cracking up about it.
That's
but
Odell.
Here's what I want to talk I want to talk about the Lions, though, man. Here's what I think. The second half, Kyler Murray, he's got some talent.
Yeah.
I was impressed with him. Second, if he can play, he's going to get better, and he's going to get better over time and everything. But, you know, I think about his size. He's like Johnny Manziel size to me, man, or Doug Flutie. Maybe he's just a little more taller than Doug Flutie, man. But I was really impressed with him because they got the offense. They didn't call. It's like he could run. He could run from he in the huddle, and he can he doesn't have to get plays from the coaches. Maybe he's doing that now. But he seemed like he could command the huddle and get the offense on. So I just was impressed with that, man. But here's what I want to say about the Lions, though, man. really, is the Lions, they are a work in progress. I don't care what these fans calling these talk shows, kind of blaming Stafford for. I like to see Stafford is like he's playing for the Miami Dolphins, to be honest with you, man. The Lions are still a work in progress. Until the Lions get some people that can block, get some besides him throwing the passes out on the sidelines and stuff like that, get a running attack going. You know what, man? We just repeating the same conversation over and over, and that's what I just got to say about that.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that, man. I hope that was therapeutic for you. And I get it.
I had to do it.
I totally get it, man. And, you know, Kerryon Johnson, he is the guy, Jack. He had, what, 16 carries for 49 yards. Rather pedestrian running attack for the Lions. But I thought Matthew Stafford overall had a great game. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll roll in the Mark D'Antonio press conference from this morning. You'll get a chance to hear what Coach D had to say, a bit of what he had to say, putting a cap on that blowout win against Western and previewing Arizona State this Saturday afternoon. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We just finished up talking about the Honolulu Blue and your Detroit Lions and what occurred on Sunday afternoon in Arizona. The Lions not losing, so like Kirk, I guess you know we should take a page out of his Lions fandom playbook, right? You got to look at things a bit different as a Lions fan. If you play a game and it is not a loss, I guess that's a good thing.
Wrong.
No, you're not buying that, Jack. No, it's not a loss, dude. It's not a loss. So that's a good thing. Anytime the Lions don't lose on a Sunday, isn't that a good thing?
That is absolutely a loss facing one of the two or three worst teams in the NFL, being up by 18 points in the fourth quarter and choking. That is absolutely a loss.
I feel like the Lions fan.
Absolutely a loss.
You have to like trick your mind.
That's the worst mindset you could ever adopt.
You just would go crazy if you keep expecting wins.
You would go crazy if you accept ties as wins as well, though.
Yeah, I'm just saying, as a Lions fan, for Lions fans out there, I'm not a Lions fan. For Lions fans out there, you kind of have to, like, I feel like you got to trick your brain. I don't
also,
know.
Also, that's a cop-out to say that you're not a Lions fan. I understand you're a Cowboys fan more than a Lions fan, but you're such a Detroit guy that if the Detroit Lions became a real contender, you want to tell me you wouldn't root for the Lions?
I
do not buy that for a second.
I would be all in, Jack, because it's my hometown. You know, born and raised, I'm born and bred in the D. You know what I mean? What up, though? You know, I'm born and bred in the D. So, yeah, if they were to become a contender, I would support them. But it's just like, you know, you become so negative when it comes to this club over time, because they break your heart every time. I mean, you grew up watching them too, Jack, and you have so many memories growing up, probably watching the game with your parents, you know, and you're just like, oh, they did it again to me, again? And you develop this negativity that just stays with you to the point you're like, I can't do this no more. I'm not going to torture myself like this anymore year after year. And that's the kind of mentality I have right now when it comes to this team.
No, I mean, that's fair. My most of my extended family are actually Bears fans, because my family is from Chicago and my dad's a Bears fan as well. So
he
hasn't had to experience it for 60, 70, 80 years the way some people have in this city. Those are the people I really feel bad for.
Yeah,
I mean, the Detroit Lions, I'm 21 years old. The Detroit Lions have given me nothing. It's really horrible when you think about there are people three times my age that have seen one playoff victory.
Oh,
it's really tough.
It is tough stuff. All right, let's transition now. Mark D'Antonio, as you know, know, each and every Tuesday morning holds his weekly press conference. I want to play a bit of what Coach D had to say. And also, yeah, Coach D, if he wins against Arizona State, he will become the winningest football coach in Michigan State football history. He will eclipse Duffy Doherty's record. And he talks a bit about that as well and so much more as he puts a lid on what happened against Western and looks forward to what could possibly happen against Arizona State this weekend. Here is Coach D'Antonio from Spartan Stadium this morning.
Mark, final two-parter for you here. When you're watching the film, do you wear sunglasses or those jerseys a little bit different to see your guys running around in?
You know, I was just, it was very, when I walked in the locker room, I said, oh, my God, goodness. I was like, whew. You know, but I knew that if we wore them at night, they would take on a whole different look. And when they were all together as a group, it looked good. And then when they were going down the field on big gains or making tackles collectively, you know, it looked good. So, you know, Nike did a great job. You know, our players liked them. And that's what I have to look at. And, you know, in pregame, I said, hey, you guys want to wear these uniforms to our captains? Oh, yeah, coach, let's go. So I was like, okay. Let's go. And I liked him at the end of the game, and the bottom line is, how do you play? So,
second part, I know you're not a guy that looks at yourself throughout the season, but with a win on Saturday, you would become, you know, breaking Duffy's record. Have you had time to reflect on that this week, especially when you tied it last week?
Yeah, I have. I have. You know, what I reflected on was Duffy Doherty, really. And, you know, when I look and I'm glad you asked that question, because when I look back and I look at, it's a different time. You know, football back then is different than it is now. It's a different game. Media is completely different. You know, you have all these different, you probably had two people talking to him on a Tuesday that time with just to the local papers. But when you look at what he had accomplished, four national championships, you know, coach of the year, two-time national coach of the year, coached 29 first-team All-Americans. I really believe he was a pioneer in the integration of college football. If you look back and you really study the integration of college football, you know, Michigan State had 20, I believe, got it written down right here, 20 African-Americans playing in the 66 team, 11 starters. And, you know, in that 10-10 tie, and not to be disrespectful to anybody, but Michigan State had 20. Notre Dame had one. And they talk about USC and their game against Alabama. They had seven African Americans on that team. So Duffy was ahead of his time. He recruited all across America, brought players in from the South, guys like, you know, when I came here and I walked into what was the Duffy Doherty Center at that time, and sort of a little hall of history there. And I was amazed at 67, you know, draft choices that they had, you know, I think four out of the first eight. I mean, that's unparalleled. I don't think there's ever been a team or will ever be another team that has four of the top eight players picked. You know, Bubba Smith, number one. I think Clinton Jones went number maybe two. I think that George Webster went four, I think. And then there was Gene Washington at number eight. You know, go back and you think about some of the players, you know, Charlie Thornhill, you know, you think about Baba Pisa, you think about Sherm Lewis, you think about Jimmy Ray being the first quarterback to integrate college football and play for national championship. You look at Brad Van Pelt playing here, you know, but he had so many players, so many great players playing here that really he was ahead of his time. I mean, the guys on Time Magazine, you know, I'm not sure if I'm as funny as he is. Let's say that right now. I think that he really was a bigger than life type person. So when I reflect on this, on this next win at some point, plan on it this weekend, but at some point, you know, it's sort of a milestone, but it really allows me to reflect back on history, history of college football, and really what Duffy Doherty did for the game of college football and what he did for the country in that respect in a lot of ways. And that's what I remember. And the players that I've met from his teams, you know, love the guy. And so when I look at things like that, you know, it's It's a humbling experience, but, you know, we're here now. I read Isaiah 41:20, and I just sort of feel blessed. So that's where I am.
Mark, was there a time early in your tenure here where you knew it was going to work? Like, can you think to a time in those 07, 08, 09 years where you really had a feeling this was going to take off?
Yeah, I sort of felt I'd never got into a football game and thought, hey, we can't win this one. 2007, one of the things I was most proud of is I believe that we didn't lose one player in attrition in that change. I think. I have to go back and look, but I remember telling Jerry DiNardo that fact, that that's our goal, not to lose one player. We had good players there. You know, Brian Hoyer is still playing. I mean, how long did Javon Ringer play? You know, we had some great players on that football team, and there were some games that we lost, and we lost close. And we were really in most of the games. Then 2008 came, and we win 9 games. You know, I think you're always going to take a step back when you're building a program a little bit. And 2009 maybe was that year a little bit, but close games. 2010 and 11, we busted out. 2012, outstanding defense, young players. Took a little step back offensively, and you guys know the history here. And then 2013 sort of regrouped, 14, 13, 14, 15, big years. I think 34-5 maybe in those 3 years. Dipped in 16 drastically, but, you know, leading at half at every one of those football games, so don't really know how to handle that. Had some problems, you know, as we go. There's always going to be problems. Regrouped in 17, 18 last year was, you know, tight. But, you know, obviously doing some decent things. And once, you know, play better defense than probably offense, need more production, a lot of injuries. And here we come in 19, so we'll see what 19 brings for us. But I've always felt like we could win here. And I've always felt like you're going to have great crowds, as evidenced by the last 2 games, and that there's a tremendous amount of support here, and there's a very proud group of people here that represents Spartan Nation. So we're going to get ready to play. We're going to emphasize toughness and effort all the time and knowing what to do, which we have on from day one, and we're going to try and do this old school, which we have from day one. And we bring players here who are tough and excited to come.
Forgive me if I asked you this last year, I may have, but did you ever meet Duffy?
No, I have met his grandson, and I have met his wife before she passed at the Duffy Doherty Awards, and I believe his grandson may be coming this week.
Mark, when you walked in the locker room and saw all that neon and talked to the team leaders, and you said you want to wear these uniforms, what would you have done if they'd said no or, eh, not really?
Well, I asked them before they put them on. That was key, okay, because this thing's fit tight. But, you know, when we went through all of this, you know, they had opportunities to look at them far and away before that day. So, it's just a change. It's changed from the traditional color, and sometimes that's good. I thought it was a good change, and like I said, it was important that we play well. I thought it was very important that we play well, because I know that any time there's change, you know, there's going to be, you know, a group here and a group there, and there's going to be talk, and there's going to be people saying this or saying that. So it was important that we play well, and I think that's what made those uniforms really look good.
They're right?
Well, I don't know. Might be wearing them this weekend. You never know.
Just you talk about being in the moment, and obviously this moment is an important one for the program, for yourself individually, and a lot of other things. But would it be, I guess, not as received if you don't continue the success? If things kind of come apart or fall the other way, does it make it more special when you have a successful season and individual milestones?
Well, first of all, I've never really thought of things that way. I don't go through life like that. I go through life thinking we're going to win. And everything that we do is predicated on trying to do the best we can and planning on success. So I've never really looked at it in that respect, and I don't think it's going to go in that respect because we stay positive. But the most important thing is to be 3-0 and then 4-0 or 3-1 or whatever it is. The most important thing is what's coming up next. Long term, years from now, or when this is all done, I'm sure I'll look back and say, that was an interesting week. Got a lot of two-part questions. Okay, but for me right now, I'm going to live in the present, and I'm going to deal with what we're trying to, what we can have an effect on, and that's the next game. And I'm going to stay positive and get our players ready to play and enjoy the experience with our players. And, you know, I just enjoy being with them. We got a great group of young people. They have great chemistry. You guys have interviewed them. We have unique individuals, and they're fun to be around, but they're great people, and they get along so well together that it's a blessing and a pleasure to be around them and coach them.
Mark, with the success and consistency during your tenure, how have you seen the recruiting atmosphere kind of change here at Michigan State? Is it easier to get some of these guys to come to East Lansing?
No, it's always tough in recruiting. Recruiting is a very competitive situation. I think things have changed. Just the demographics have changed in terms of people staying closer to home, probably for the most part than most, or you get them on campus. How you know, there's such an earlier time of recruiting has become accelerated, so people are looking at you as sophomores and juniors, and they can't even come on campus officially. They can come on unofficially, but you know, guys from farther away don't have that opportunity to get here as much. And I think usually you got to get on campus two or three times to at least have an idea of an understanding of what it is about a place. So, you know, a lot of times you're trying to do that during the season, which you got, you know, three or four balls up in the air, literally, and you're trying to recruit as well. So it's just a busy time. But, you know, you get 16, 17 committed guys right now or so, and so it's just accelerated. But I've always been impressed with the guys that come, and we want good people that are good football players, and that's what we've tried to do. We continue to try and do that.
All right, again, that was Mark D'Antonio, the head coach of the Michigan State football team, of course, holding his weekly press conference. All right, I'm going to have further thoughts on a few things that Coach D touched on during tomorrow's show, seeing as though we only have 30 seconds left, such a busy show. And I am going to pay tribute to the late, great Ronald Mann, former United States Army emergency room medic who captured the Korea-wide Army Taekwondo Championship for his division. He sadly passed away over the weekend, and I want to pay tribute to a dear friend and one remarkable human being. But until then, folks, we'll see you tomorrow. And as always, be easy, people.